It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to a Friday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in the real talent of the show, the one that's carrying the mail today for a under-the-weather Jamie Rivers. Darren Kimball, what's going on, buddy?
Good, Cromes. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing okay. I've got I got a hankering to talk about a Blues victory last night that involves something we didn't think we were going to see, a little scrap. Turns out Thursday night's all right for fighting.
We found our enforcer.
Elton John said Saturday night, right? But Thursday night's okay, right?
We found our enforcer, the fucking goaltender.
Hey, I have a feeling, would I be wrong to say that I think that he may get us in a few scraps, because he likes to stand up there, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's, you know what, though? When he did what he did, it turned the whole momentum of the game around, too.
Yeah.
Which was, I was watching the game again, and it was sort of drobby going on, and all of a sudden, he does what he does, and it just turns it around, and the bench gets life, and away we go.
Jesus. Now that we're official, and we have a text line, thanks to our new friends, the Patterson family. Now that we're official and we're big time, people are going to start texting in your Debbie Downer.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, even when we win, you're like, oh, man, that was hard.
You're not using our text line for other shit that you do.
Oh, now, you know I don't do that. But
correct.
But hey, we're going to talk about a Blues victory. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And, maybe we'll get a few stories out of our favorite former Blues enforcers. I know you guys enjoy that as well. But anytime we can talk about a Blues victory is great as well. And incorporate some of the fans now, as I mentioned, that we are official. Does that make us official that we have a text line like the big boys?
Yep.
Like, do you feel like you're...
Yeah,
I'm more not, professional. Do yeah, you, I mean, you're a very professional guy.
Yeah, I dress it and everything. Yeah, we're ready to roll.
Well, we're ready to get rolling here and talk about multiple things, but we do want to thank our friends, as we always come to you from the SynergyHockeySkills.com studios, our good friend Jamie Rivers and his wonderful organization that's done a lot for all the kids here in the area. I say kids. They're all kids to me as I get older and older every day, but our young people out there that are trying to improve themselves through the game of hockey. So special thanks, as always, to our friends at SynergyHockeySkills.com, and of course our good friend Randy Green with InnovatedCompanies.com, a 35 years experienced gentleman, second generation craftsman that still believes a handshake and his word means something in this world. And if you need his construction team, heating and cooling team, or his electric team, he is ready to roll. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green with InnovatedCompanies.com is the name you know and trust. Well, you've heard me harping a little bit on us becoming official, and we're enjoying the text line because you guys are enjoying it, as last night we kind of was the first time we've sent it out during a game, and a lot of you guys sent us some texts today, so we're going to make you famous. Although, you know, once again, I told you guys, tell me who you are on the text line. I need to know your name so that I can attach your name to something. Oh, Deneen did it. We knew Deneen would. She's one of our favorite people. But we do appreciate the Patterson family, as the Patterson Tire and Service, as we always say, a whole lot more than a tire store, is the new sponsor for our text line, and I'm excited about that. And as I remind you, 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois, 618-797-6711. The reason they say they're a whole lot more than a tire store is while they will take care of your tires, your brakes, they do automotive repair as well. And as I've mentioned more than once on here, they've saved my bacon. In fact, my car is there as we speak. But I did a trade. It was a trade. I traded my car for Brian Patterson.
Yeah, buy a new car, maybe.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to get when I walk down here, but I know my car will be working. But you made mention quite a while ago that you met a friend of mine, and I can say that. I've been friends with this family for a long time. They admit that too.
I don't know if they do that. Just
no,
that.
They
make
do.
Sure.
They
Clarify
do.
That.
But on the
we'll find
on the,
out soon.
But the have you ever been a celebrity before, Brian? Where you can say that's my text line?
No, I haven't. The closest to celebrity I've ever been is saying I've known Darren Kimball.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
We've been in the same commercial together.
Yes, you have. And as I brought up before, I used to tell these guys, I liked the whole Wanda Queen of Carpets thing they had going on with their commercials. And then there's a around here, we're in show business, and there's a term called jumping the shark. And when they brought in O'Kimby, I said, I don't know, boys, you might have jumped the shark there, but not too bad. Brian, welcome to the show. Your friend Darren Kimball had some glowing things to say about you and your son Jake, evidently, as well. And I told him I happen to know Jake for a long time. He's a great kid. But hockey is in the family blood there, and you guys love hockey. But you guys like sports in general, right? So last night's Blues victory had a little spirited bout, and I know you like a good spirited bout. Did that make you feel better as a Blues fan that not only did we win on the scoreboard, but there was a good scrap in the game?
Yeah, it's always fun watching that type of stuff. The game was fun. But that's about it, really. Don't really have much to say.
Brian, are you nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
How come?
You know, I've never done this before, so we're...
Well, we're going to make it painless for you, so we'll hit you here in a few minutes.
Remember when you were 14 that first time? Just remember. Just go back to that. Everything's okay.
Oh, boy.
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay, buddy. It'll be okay in the morning. Yeah. Hey, so Kimby, you say you had a little hard time watching. What's the drag down on the game that's got you rolling there?
If you so when you're paying attention to the hockey game last night, Gromes, there's the way the LA Kings were playing last night, they play a 1-4. And when you're playing a 1-4, it's like playing a trap in hockey. And so they got one guy forechecking, four guys back. They're gonna dump the puck in. One guy's gonna make pressure. If he can turn the puck over, then they're gonna attack you. But the Blues would get the puck, they would skate it out, dump it into the red line, then they'd go chase and dump it. And it's just a boring game. And the NHL was trying to get away from this many years ago. When the New Jersey Devils put the trap into play.
Yeah.
So. You know, the whole process of the Blues was, not the Blues, the NHL was, we want more goals. Well, the LA Kings are playing a 1-4, so they're playing a defensive system. So as soon as I watched the game, and as soon as the period started, and I watched what was going on, I went, oh, this is going to be a long fucking night here, because, you know, they're going to dump it in, and they're going to try to create turnovers. That's what the 1-4 creates, is a turnover, and then we attack. So the Blues were... you know, you come out of your zone, dump the puck in, put pressure, and the Blues were establishing pressure. The Blues look good. I got nothing wrong with what they were doing. I just know the way the hockey game was going, and it's just a drag on hockey.
Well, that's a drag on hockey in general in the NHL, yeah. and it runs across. So we talked a little bit last time about the power play, whether it's a penalty kill or the power play being such a big part of the games now. And last night the power play got going. We get three goals. I mean, we can't get a goal, and then we get three in one game. Thank goodness, right? Or maybe this trap makes it an even draggier game. Yeah.
That's why I was hoping Ribs was going to be on. Because so if you notice last night again, who was always starting the power play? Like Dunn was out there.
Yeah.
That line was out there with the ones that were starting it. So it wasn't your number one line that was going normally, correct? And
well, do they have a one and two? I mean, they've talked about this, right?
Every team does, so I don't give a shit what they say. Every team has a one and two. You know that, and I know that. Because if Vladdy Tarasenko's playing, and we'll get to him in a bit, I know. But
that's the world we live in now, Darren. Everybody's equal.
Yeah, they are. And they score three power play goals, but they're getting it done. And when you talk about it, you know, with Falk out there, you see, we talked about Falk getting better, and I didn't think he played well last night.
No, I didn't either.
He gets beat. He causes a couple penalties. So I thought he had turned the corner. But anyway, the power play is really the reason why they won the hockey game last night was the power play. And then we talked about that last week.
Well, and they're goaltender again.
Yeah, but I told you last week, this league is a power play league now. So if you're going to... If your power play is good, it's going to win you 10 games. So there's one for the Blues. They won one game because their power play, because, you know, they were having a hard time getting things going because you're playing a 1-4 again, and that's a tough way to play hockey.
Well, Dunn was, you know, it's nice to see him getting all his points have been on the power play. So sure. That's, you know, and I'm not saying that that's good or bad. It just is what it is. I mean, we're still early in the season. As you mentioned, 20 games is kind of your barometer to say, okay, here's who I think we are. At this point, obviously, and then changes occur. And we all lived through last year where we were ready to trade the whole team by January 1st, and we wind up holding the Stanley Cup. I'm going to bring back in our guest here. Brian, you heard Darren talk a little bit about the change in the NHL. And, you know, your boy played hockey and was a really good hockey player. And it was back in that day where the NHL was going through changes. And we all enjoyed offense, right? Like Brett Hull, we all went through that. He made a whole community want to play hockey, right? But they made all these changes to add even more offense. Because I don't know, do you remember Brett Hull every game? After the game, we'd talk about all the clutching and grabbing out on the ice, right?
That's one of the reasons I think he hung him up, wasn't it? Is he just couldn't stand all the clutching and grabbing. And
yeah, that he didn't like that when he played, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they add all this in, and then you get the smart guys in hockey, and I believe it was Lou Lamoriello, right, who developed the trap.
Yep.
He said, okay, you want to take out the red line? Okay.
Well, Lou Lamoriello, Jacques Lemaire is the guy that does it, because he's the coach of the team. So.
Well, I thought it was Lou that had come up with the thing, but whatever. So in the end, they put this in, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and I always say this, we've never had that kind of offense since they made all these changes that were supposed to increase the offense. So, and then we mentioned on the other show, the only way I see it getting any better is if they make all these clubs tear out the rinks and put in Olympic size rinks. I just don't know any other way to do it, and I know people don't like that because they think it's going to be a figure skating match, but when Ivan Barbashev is your tough guy, do I need any more evidence that we're heading that way?
Well, and then that's what I said at the start of the show, Chromes. Your goaltender's your fucking enforcer right now. and I hate to say that, but hats off to Barbashev because he stood up for his team and he had to get to that point. So I'm happy for him. But when I talked to you probably about 2 weeks ago, what were the Blues going to have to do this year? They're going to have to do it as a five-man unit. So when there's trouble on the ice, five guys are going to go to the process. When Binnington did what he did last night, what happened? Five guys went to the process. So you're not going to have individual scraps going on because the NHL is against that. So, but it was nice to see. So your goaltender does what he does because, you know, he's full of piss and vinegar, basically. Anyway, Binnington is. That's his motto. You know, that's what he does. And it's good that he did it last night because it got some life in the goddamn crowd. It was a game that was going, like I said, because the 1-4 they're playing. The Blues are trying everything they can, but there's a 1-4 being played, so it's just a process. And he brings life, and all of a sudden they score. Guy gets a penalty, and they score another goal right after it. So turn it into a 3-1 game. So it's just that's the way it goes.
I want to bring up a player and get your thoughts on it, and Brian, I'd be curious yours as well. Because, you know, not a guy that we talked about, but, you know, here we find ourselves again on another show talking about Mackenzie McEachran. Season started, nobody went, man, we got Mackenzie McEachran, right? Like, we can count on him. But he's went out there and laid it. Here's a guy that doesn't want to be in the press box anymore and definitely doesn't want to go down. So, you know, Brian, you weren't counting on it beginning of the year, but I enjoy watching him play.
I enjoy watching the young man play. He made some plays from behind the net last night. He's tough. I think he could be the guy that throws them once in a while.
Yeah, and I think last night, which was good to see, so 51 on LA's team, the one that gets in the fight with Barbashev, but earlier in the game, I think the Blues score maybe on Clifford's penalty, so it gets 2-1. And I believe he lines up on the faceoff, and the 51 sort of pushes him around, and they start banging each other.
The Wagner? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wagner.
So he stood up for, the guy was sort of, you know, pushing back, and he stood up for himself. So I, not fighting wise, but he was going back, and that line there is going to be a big part of this hockey club this year. It's going to create some excitement in the rink, especially at home games. And, but he's got, we always talk about Patty Maroon, but there's a different side of this guy. This guy's he's a little faster hockey player. He plays a different style of hockey, which I think fits in with Barbashev and Sundqvist really well. And, they cause a lot of shit, this line does. And I think that's what the Blues need.
In the end, though, the puck's got to go in the net. And the guy that we look to, good or bad, and he takes a beating sometimes, and sometimes we praise him. And I thought he played his best game a couple nights ago. And then he come out last night flying, and that was Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That was what I was hoping. You know, obviously Jamie dealing with a little sickness. But that's what I wanted to know, was where are we at with Vladimir Tarasenko. So I'm hoping I can catch up with Jamie later and we'll send out a tweet or something if he knows anything. You know how he tends to know things unofficially.
Maybe he's chauffeuring him to the doctor.
Maybe that is what's going on.
That's what that was.
Maybe he is taking him. But Vladdy takes it. good and bad, but I thought he had played his best game by far the other night. And then he come out last night and was buzzing, and I thought, okay, we got the bull back. You know, he likes to play, because I like it when he starts throwing shoulders and using his hips and making, creating space. And we talked about the comparison of creating your own space versus wanting somebody else to do it for you. But if he's out, somebody's going to have to step up.
And he's a player, though, with Tarasenko that went on. So we talked about it. For 10 games, he was sleeping. And then all of a sudden, he starts to liven up. And, you know, he gets out of his little spot where he always goes every year. So now he starts to come and then get a little fire in his belly. And he starts running around. And not running around, but, you know, having a little excitement in his game. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets hurt. So hopefully it's not long. You don't want that, because he is your basically top goal scorer on your team, even though the Saskatchewan boy is scoring right now, but he is your top goal scorer.
Yeah, Braden Shen, how about that? Brian, you got a guy on this team that is your go-to guy that you love to watch play every night, or is it just a team thing for you?
Oh, I watch Vladdy. I just like watching him play. But I'm kind of wondering if he hasn't been not healthy 100%. That's why he's floating around so much until that game against Colorado.
Yeah, because I didn't see any. Now again, they're gonna have better video. I went back. I didn't see anything that I thought was awful that I'm sitting there going, ooh. Like, I didn't see anything happen to him that I went, man, that looks bad. You know what I mean? Like,
do you think he could have a thumbnail like you baseball players do?
Oh, geez, here we go.
You guys do?
There we go.
Shit, is it?
I sure hope not. But we're gonna roll right into some of our texts. You know, we got we sent out last night our like I said, we're official, our Patterson Tire text line, a whole lot more than a tire store text line. So we're gonna go right to one because I know it's gonna warm your heart, right out the gate, and it ties into this. Hey, I thought Thomas looked great tonight. Do you think it was one of his best games yet, which he hasn't played much because he had been hurt, so obviously yes. But if Big Vladdy Daddy's out, should Costin get a sniff?
I don't think you're going to see Costin for a while, Chromes, and we talked about that with Ribs on here. I think you got a draft coming up with a new team coming in. You're going to try to hide this guy as long as you can. I don't care what anyone says. So I don't know the regulations of where he got to fit in yet. So
I think the draft's a big – I think you're right. Yeah. I think the expansion drafts, they don't have to protect him if he doesn't play up here. So it's just a player they don't have to protect.
It's a process that they're going to go through, and I don't know how many games he's going to have to play. But with Thomas, it's kind of – the question is now with Vladdy out, but Thomas has been playing wing. So then probably halfway through the game or after the first period, Berube puts him at center. And last night he was rolling through center there for a while, and that's the position he played when he played junior hockey. And so I'd be curious if he goes to that position. It gives you a little more free room, and you know you can roam around a little bit more. So it'll be interesting what they do with the kid.
And I thought, and I think we would all agree that until he got hurt in the playoffs last year, Thomas had kind of arrived.
Yeah, he finally got there. Right. Yeah, he finally got there. But there's a growing process with the kid, and you know, he had a rough start to this year, but he's, you know, you finally get going. But people, when they play hockey growing up and you played a certain position all the time, you're used to that position.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, to get in the NHL, obviously things change. If you want to play there, you have to play different positions. And but putting him back at center, that would be if they keep him there, they might not. They might just have been a temporary thing to liven someone up. But he looked good at it.
But Costin is a larger-than-life figure for all Blues fans, I think. Brian, are you okay if they keep – like, if it's purely Costin being down – for quote-unquote business reasons. Are you okay with that? Like, has the organization bought some time with everybody because we just hoisted a banner? I mean, I would think we'd have to trust him, right?
Yeah, I think you bought a little time, but I don't think there's no reason to rush the boy.
Yeah.
I think you, unless he's a superstar in the making, you're going to see 20 minutes of ice at forward. Why bring him up?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess the conversation would have to be had, and I think that's a great point by Brian. I think the conversation would have to be had if you said, you know what, we're going to bring him up, and he's going to play 20 minutes a game. But if they did, I don't think – like.
So you just asked Brian a question. I'll tell you just a little history with Brian.
Here we go.
So back in the day when I coached his kid, Jake. So we're Coach Jake.
Was he that dad? Are you going to tell us
so
that?
Brian's I guess he's sort of like the GM. Him and John Miller was there, but he's sort of like the GM, and we were friends. And so there was another kid that was a centerman, so Brian would always want me to, you know, hold him back a little bit. And why was that? Because Jake was a centerman. So so Brian knows the political ball game. You know? So that's just Granite City Hockey.
Oh, my Lord. You had no idea this was going to go down, did you?
Man, I was hoping stories like that were going to come up.
No, it's the other stories after the game that are a no holds here. That'd be good. But, you know, what may have went down at the bar after the game.
But, you know, Jamie, we're on here talking about him, and Jamie's right, and what Brian said is correct. You know, you want the kid to, you know, to be the best he can be down in that league, but there are other reasons why the kid's sitting down there. I don't care what anyone says. If you can protect him and not have to deal with, you don't say if there was 20 games. Say if he had to play 20 games, and if he went over that 20 game mark, he would be in that draft, so Seattle could take him on you. And you invested 3 years in this kid, so why would you put yourself at risk at that point in time? I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and again, the main
horseshit thing, part of the business, but that's part of the business.
Well, and the one thing I really was curious to hear from Brian, because, you know, Brian and I both have something in common. You know, we didn't play in the league like you, so we're just fans, right? So the question is always
a GM, though.
Well, he is, but the question is always, and you know, you're seeing it more and more every day, and when they're winning, you don't, right? But it's that, okay, how much time have they bought themselves before? Like, fans are, like, confused right now. Like, is it okay for me to criticize the team because they won a Stanley Cup, or can I bitch, or can I moan, or can I do whatever? But the truth of the matter is, when you start asking real questions about what's best for the hockey team, I still think that plays into it, too, because, I would say they've earned some scratch here. Now, what, you know, how much, you know, there's always a little bit of luck involved, right? You need some things to go your way. But the reality of it is, like I said, you know, we had the whole team traded last December, yeah, right? We had the whole team gone. Rebuild was the word, right? And then here we are. But, and it's unlikely. Now, is that a recipe for success? I would think not. But it happened. So now we're building for the future. And we have some things that we have to worry about, right? But in this moment in time, as you've said, there's going to be some really good teams sitting on the outside looking in when playoff time comes along because of the way the conference is.
But I know where you're going there. But to go to Costin, though, but to get to Costin, you got Sammy still up here, so he's not a long-term injury.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
you
so.
You got Sanford that just come into the lineup, so, you know,
which I thought he played well last night.
Played well last night. And but you got to get through these guys before you even, you know, they're going to run their extras out up here. They got, what, one or two guys that are sitting as extra forwards? So you'll get through that process before you're going to get to Costin.
Well, and I'm glad you went there, okay? And this is where I'm going to bring in our friend over here, because as, like...
He doesn't even like you. He's my friend. Okay. I didn't even like you.
He likes me. Do you realize? Come on, man. This was like my brother for like 10 years.
Before you got here, you should have seen what he was saying. So you start that nonsense.
So here's the thing, though. I think we, and I'm going to say we as just fans, everything we hear and then we see is we think that a guy like Costin would come up here and is more skilled than these other guys.
That's a fair assessment.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, in the end, the puck's got to go in the net. So if Vladdy's out, and let's face it, Braden Schenn's been scoring, and we need more scoring from Schwartz, and we got all that. But in the end, if you're going to look somewhere, where does it come from? And I think we've all been... like, I'm not going to say wrongfully hyped up, but, you know, I think we all know what Costin is and can be. So then we start looking, right? And then other teams have brought up young guys, and some of these guys come up very young and they stick and they just start pumping goals in.
But you know what? You know how the world works, Chrome. So I'm going to tell you a little secret.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So when you sit at the top of the pile and you're the top guy, and the Blues are the top guy because they got the Stanley Cup ring on their finger.
Right.
And that affords you to do whatever the hell you want right now. And people aren't going to question that, you know? So,
and that's what I was,
you know, we
about.
Talked about it last week, and Jamie was going through it. And I said to Jamie, I said, but if they don't have a Stanley Cup ring on their finger, Costin could be playing here right now. But with the Stanley Cup ring on your finger, who's going to question what Armstrong and them are doing right now? Nobody. And
well, he went from everybody mad at him to, yeah, you're right. He can do what he wants.
Yeah. So you're going to sit there, and now he's sitting there for this time being. They're off to not a bad start. They're in the playoff hunt still. They're in the top three in their division or whatever the hell it is. And so they're not in a bad spot. That no one's going to be telling them what to do right at this point in time. They're holding all the cards. And so Costin is at the mercy of a Stanley Cup right now, because after having a camp like that, if the team was a 500 team last year, he would be playing on this hockey club. But they don't have to play him right now.
Question from another person on our Patterson Tire and Service text line.
Are there any flats on this one?
No.
Okay.
If you got a flat, though.
Take it to Patterson. I set you up there.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought Brian would have jumped in on that.
Yeah, I would have jumped right in there. Hey, he's on strict orders.
He doesn't do much of the work.
The boss is, one of the bosses is actually sitting in the comfy chair overlooking this whole thing, taking notes. Hey, here's what I want to know. She's feverishly taking notes over there. I'm nervous wreck.
I think she's monitoring my language.
Did you get a, Brian, it's okay if they say anything, but you make sure you monitor yourself.
No. I like that. Who's going to get the shit after this, you or Kev?
No. Tracy's been handling all of her social media, and she's been doing great at it.
So. Yeah, we stole one of your pictures to make the text line photo. We liked the tire picture. It was good. No, it's fun. When does Bennington score his first goal? Now, I got to ask you this. I know this is a fun question, but... why is everybody obsessed with goalie scoring goals? Is it because it never – I mean, and who do you think of him? Like, I think of Ron Hextall, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who you think of because the guy tried to score every time there was an empty net. But why are people infatuated with goalie scoring?
I think it's because it happens about as often as Darren scored.
Oh. Wow.
That's what I talk about. Did he? That's why I said we should think about bringing these guys on. You see that?
Does he got that kind of juice with you? Because I got to tell you, I go the other way. I remind people all the time that this guy could score goals. That just wasn't his job.
Well, you're sitting closer to him.
I don't want them big paws grabbing me.
But yet he was telling me how to teach his kid how to score goals. So that is a double slap there, isn't it?
That is a double slap, yeah.
But you go. Okay, let's look at Bennington last night, though, too. That puck wasn't going to make it to the other end on his shot last night. So let's be honest about that. He didn't have the juice to get there. So I'd like to see him in a practice of how much because Hextall could fire the puck. You know, back in the day when a guy like Hextall would get the puck and a Belfour would do it, they would get it and they would rip it off the glass. And I think nowadays they don't want to do that because if they miss, they're going to get a penalty. But they could clear the puck on their own. And but I don't know if Bennington would have had the juice there last night. I think that he had a little backspin on that one.
Would we get it? Okay, here's the most important thing with him. If he scored, would we get a reaction?
Well, he'd be riding that little bike on the ice probably again. I'm pretty sure if he scored that goal.
I don't know that we would. I really don't. I mean, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things last year was there was somebody, I don't know who it was fixated on him at the end of the games. And, they won that game 7, and they're fixing. He did nothing. He didn't raise his hands up. He didn't do nothing until they won the Stanley Cup. But, I mean, the guy was just like, we're going to the finals, and off he'd skate. I mean, and I guess we've always talked about goalies being a little goofy. I was going to say, we always wind up talking to you about the tough guys, okay, and all the everybody wants to know. Like, I think you always say the number one question, who was the toughest guy you fought? And I think the second one was Bob Probert really that tough? But the big one should be for me. And you've met some characters. Are goalies really as out there as everybody says they are?
Yeah, they are. They are far gone. They are far gone.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to be nutty, right, to stand there and just... I'll give you a little history here. We played ball together. And back in the day when softball was a big deal...
Did they have spandex back then?
They did. You wore it under.
Jesus.
But this guy right here was our pitcher. And people think, well, you know, and people think, well, it's a big deal. But let me tell you something. When you were playing, when we were playing, these guys would hit balls back up 100 miles an hour back up the middle because it was the biggest hole in the field. And this guy, like most of these guys that were really good, and we knew some of them, you know who I'm talking about, they would pitch, and they'd actually, as they were pitching, they'd be running backwards, right? He never did it. He stood there, like, what was it, about 40 feet away? And guys would just pepper balls at him, and he'd catch them. So I used to tell people, too, I think he's a little nutty. You know? I mean, I did. I used to think Brian was a little nutty, but just like goalies.
I just couldn't walk backward.
But... So these goalies really are nuts.
Well, they just go to a different place. Like Eddie Belfour, he's a good friend of mine, and I lived with him for probably 4 months the 1 year of the lockout. And it's just he's just a very intense individual, and we would eat. It was kind of funny. There was a friend of mine, Greg Smith, who we call him Bird Dog. He passed away a couple years ago because of cancer, and. Me, him, and Eddie were good friends. And so me and Bird Dog would always ride down to the rink together. And Eddie would come on his own. You know, we just left him alone. You know, we're not going to screw with one of the best goalies in the world. We, you know, we just stay out of his way. And so we'd come home, and his wife would cook. Eddie would always want steak and a potato. And so we'd get the same food. And but he'd come home, and we'd take all the condiments, like the ketchup, the salt, and all that. We'd put it around his plate. because we didn't want to screw anything up. So we would sit there and wait till he'd eat, and then we'd start enjoying our food. But it was kind of funny. Because there was one time when we first got there, there was and I'm a guy that just loves ketchup, so there was ketchup over him.
And didn't think you're gonna hear that today, didn't you?
Yeah, it was over by his plate, and so we were sitting there eating, and I went to grab the ketchup bottle, and as Eddie was looking down at his plate, he stopped and he looked up at me, and I said, "Son of a bitch, did I do something wrong here?" And so I just let it go, and so from then on in, we just let him have his stuff, and then we'd go about the process. And then there's another time I drove downtown with him, and he used to have one of those, the old Dodge Stealth. Was it Dodge Stealth come out? There was a fast vehicle they had.
They do the Viper, right?
Viper.
Well, there was a Viper. Oh, Viper, yeah.
Yeah, he had Viper. He had two of them, actually, Eddie did. And because he used to build engines for cars. And so I rode down with him one time. Bird Dog had to go down early, so he took my vehicle. And I rode down with Eddie, and I've never been so scared in my life. This guy thought he was in a race car world, and we were going through stuff that had no business going through. And my knuckles, I was grabbing onto the thing at that one point in time, and I'm going, Jesus Christ. And I got out of the vehicle, and I looked at him, and I said, never again will I ride with you. And I never did.
So of all the characters, were they the most, or were the fighters the characters?
But on a different sense, though, I find the goalies were more superstitious people, because they had to have their pads a certain way. They had to do this, and they just, when you're getting a puck shot at you at 100 mile an hour, I guess it probably has an effect on you at some point in your life, doesn't it?
But, yeah, the whole goal is to let it hit you, like trying to avoid getting it, right?
Yeah, but the fighters were different, though. They were the easygoing. A lot of them were there for support. They would just reiterate what the coach was saying, and you're basically a goddamn cheerleader at that point in time in some things, back in my day, because you'd go out and fight, but you also had to stay in the game, so that was a process of staying in the game. But a goaltender was just different. They had to have their shit right, man, and you don't mess with that, because that's the goalie is the best player that you have on the ice, so you don't mess with that.
The thing that I've always wondered about, your generation of player versus now is with we have so much technology now, and you heard Brian mentioned social media the other day, and so many things are done just for social media. But so they mic these guys up now, or these on ice mics pick up so much stuff now that they really didn't have you were there.
They couldn't have done that, because we wouldn't have a league. They would have been all in jail.
Well, that was where I was going to go with this. So was it? So, and you've seen some of these where the guy walks up, skates up and goes, "You want to go? Yeah, good luck." Stuff like that. I'm assuming that went on in your day. Nothing.
Not good luck. There are no good luck about that shit going on. No, there might be them, but you want to go, you effing idiot, or something like that. But there are no good luck going on with that. No.
So, but there was trash talk, basically.
A lot of trash talk. Yeah, a lot of trash talk.
So Probert never said good luck there.
No, he didn't say good luck there. I wish he would. At the one time,
did he say?
It might have been better.
Well, there's an example. Did he ever say anything? Was he a talker?
No, he didn't. I don't think he mumbled too much. It was more of a mumble coming out.
Well, who was the talkers?
Garth Butcher was really good at it. Stu Grimson, Kelly Chase yapped a lot. Like guys always yapped that did that job. You're supposed to take people off their game, right? So, and usually people aren't going to screw with you anyway. And it's probably going to get you in the game, because the other guy's going to want to fight you then, because you're being an idiot, So, but we're usually the guys that, but Garth Butcher was really good at it. Probably one of the best I'd seen.
Really?
Yeah. It was funny. I'll tell the story. It's a Kelly Chase. Well, Kelly Chase was there too at the time, but Stu Grimson, the Grim Reaper, they got out in, he's in Chicago, and he's got a book out now. And actually, we just had one of my fights with him on Twitter. It was been there the last couple of days. And Garth Butcher was on the bench, and Stu, and I'll say it, I don't give a shit, but.
Oh, no.
So Stu comes up and he lines up, and Garth said, to him, he says, "Why did your? I know why your parents called you Stu." And he's looking going around because they couldn't spell stupid. And the whole bench laughed. And when you do something like that, you're going to be the guy that has to fight him. And you're going, "Why are you doing that, Butchie? You stupid ass." But that's what he would do. That's what he would do.
You know what's amazing about you bringing up Garth Butcher is, Chris Lake and our CMO, he has a stick in his office from that team that year that's autographed by about three quarters of the team. Yep. And so we started looking at, there was a couple signatures. We couldn't figure out who they were. So we started looking at that team. And I got to tell you, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but we're looking at one another going, how does that team not win a cup? You know, you got Scott Stevens, you got, I mean, you just start going down the list. You're going, gee, many Christmas, how'd they shit the bed here?
Yeah.
But that was an unbelievable group.
Yeah.
What a group. Holy moly.
That would go on all the time, though. You know, there was a lot of back, and a lot of stuff probably wouldn't, it wouldn't go nowadays. They shouldn't have said, but a lot of stuff was said, and but that's why you couldn't mic it. So, if we probably knew where Mike, we are smart enough to understand that. So,
well, it reminds me, and I don't, Brian, I'll let you have your say here, but one of my all-time favorite players in the league was Scott Stevens, and I keep forgetting that you were here the year he was here.
Yeah.
And what was he like?
He wasn't, you know, he was a captain of the team, but he was a captain for, there's captains because they're for people to follow. And that's what it was. Scotty was, because every game Scotty would bring his the same person would always show up. He always played against the best players in the league, and he was physical.
God, he hit like a truck, you know, man.
When he first got in the league, you know, he actually fought quite a bit, and but once he became the player that he became, he didn't have to. So, but he would play and he would hit guys, and but he was playing against the best players in the world at the time. And then he went on to, you know, New Jersey, and I think he wins 3 Stanley Cups with them. But that's just because, you know, he was that good. So, but he wasn't a guy that was come in the room and give people shit. You know, those are the you'll find out in sports. You'd watch around. The true captains aren't the ones that sit there and yap at you or tell you do this, do that. They go show and they lead by example. And that's the, you know, Holly was a captain, but Holly led by example too when he did it. And he was a media guy that he said a lot of shit in the media that, you know, got people frustrated, but he wasn't in the dressing room, you know, calling guys out, you do this, you do that. They didn't do that kind of stuff. There was guys like us, the guys that played the fourth line, and that were in the dressing room trying to keep the dressing room alive and stuff. But it wasn't, you know, you don't tell people what to do. You're not in that position to do that, you know.
Stevens to me was a scary cat, man.
Yeah.
Like if you played against him, because if you had your head down.
Well, you know, Eric Lindros, who he pretty well, you know, part of the reason probably why he shortened his career. But Eric Lindros was a big man.
And he just ran right through him. Yeah. That's still, like, people are upset about that hit to this day. It was legal as could be. It was as clean as could be. And that's a, like, that's a big time hockey. I mean,
I think Korea goes through the same thing. Doesn't Scotty get Korea too?
Yeah, but I think he didn't.
Or was that Domi?
No, it was. It was, but I think he caught him in the head, didn't he?
Yeah, but not. But that's just.
But he wasn't trying. He was. Yeah.
But Scotty Stevens would hit Domi too, and Domi was, you know, he'd fight everybody. He was going to fight everybody. And,
oh, no, he was an equal opportunity dismantler.
The thing impressive about the Lindros hit was Korea was like half the size of Eric was.
Oh, no.
Eric was a monster.
Yeah, he was a big man.
He was a big the Tony Twist story with Eric Lindros is one of the best we've ever had on the show. That is absolutely classic. So who was your favorite players when we were younger, Brian?
Oh, I didn't become a hockey fan until late 80s, and naturally it was Brett and that whole group.
So would you credit Brett Hull for bringing you into the sport?
I credit Brett Hull in this area for having 15 ice rinks.
Well, yeah, we do say that, and the new one they have over there. I mean, that was a big deal too. But you know what, though? I mean, that, like, everything they've done over there. You've been over to the new Enterprise Center?
No, not yet.
It's unbelievable. I'm sure you've been in.
No, I haven't been there yet. Nope.
So you're talking about where the Blues play today?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've been there twice this year. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
I used to call it the clown show over there. And again, no disrespect to the people that built that building originally, but it was a clown show. But this thing they got going now is legit. But I got to ask you, I still miss the Checker Dome. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Like, all this brand new stuff, there was just something about going to the Checker Dome on a Friday or Saturday night.
I think Darren found some pretty nice places to hide in the Checker Dome.
Well,
but you go to the Checker Dome, though, and people are going to say why, you know, that's not right to say, but it's a different atmosphere. It's a different crowd. It's you know, the crowd, and I'm not saying this to be, but the fans back in the day were the 40-hour week fan, and the 40-hour week fan is not the crowd as much anymore, and it's the highfalutin people are sort of sitting there, you know, and it's the game's changed a lot. But back in the day, you know, people were going there to get drunk and watch fights, and that's basically what was going on.
My first experience at the Checker Dome was Keith Burton had taken me front row seats.
Oh, what a great guy, Keith Burton.
And we sat down, and it wasn't 5 seconds later a puck's hitting the glass. And that was just like, you're bought in right there.
And the funny thing about a hockey game, though, I'll tell anyone, if I was telling them to go to a hockey game, I'd tell them to sit by the glass if you could, but then get away from the glass because then you can see more of the game going on. Because down the glass, you might be able to hear people bouncing off the glass, and you can see how fast the game is. But you get the higher up, you get to see how the game's played. And, you know, if you're probably the seats right in the middle of the ice, you know, you're at the top tier, not the top tier, but between the middle and the top tier at the Enterprise Center, that's where you want to sit because you can see everything going on. And it slows down a little bit for you so you can understand what's going on.
You know, I look at across the league, all the new rinks and all the new style of hockey, and I go back to what I grew up on. And Brian, you know, with me being best friends with his younger brother, knew a lot of the guys that I played with. But it was sort of I'm not going to call it a cult. It was sort of like a group that would enjoy going. And they were really upset when the new rink was built. And I don't know if it's like that in other cities. And you may be right with your point. But I look at it now, though, and I think maybe it was more about the change in the game, to be quite honest with you. I think that the game on the ice changing had as much to do with it because it just felt new. It didn't feel as tough. It didn't feel – even though it just was never the same for me as a fan.
But it's like anything, though. People don't like change. A lot of people don't like change. It's – you know, you got a favorite couch or something in your house. You don't like change. You don't like to get a new one. So you get these old rinks that everyone grew up in, and, you know, as a kid, people were going down to the arena and that, and now all of a sudden you're going to a new rink. There's a lot of memories of people, and they go out the door once that those buildings are built. Like I played in a lot of good ones. Like the Chicago Stadium was the best place there ever was to watch a hockey game. I don't care what anyone says, and just because the atmosphere in there. And then you played in the Boston Garden, the old Montreal Forum, the Toronto, the old Garden. You know, it just that's where hockey was played. And when you grow up. And I don't know what you guys do, but when I grew up and I'm watching Guy Lafleur go down the form, so my first time I skate on the ice, I'm just thinking, God, you know, here I am. This is where the guy that I idolized growing up, and he was skating on that ice, and I'm looking up with all the Stanley Cup pennants they got up in the rafters and that. But so you go that, and all of a sudden you go to the rink the next day, and they built a new rink, and it's not there anymore. It's just a, you know, that's what we grew up on, and that's people hate changing that way.
Wasn't some of the old rinks, they were even smaller, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, a lot smaller. Yeah. But that was good for the game. But the game was different, though. You know, it was banging and, you know, a lot of guys, maybe they weren't as, like, the athlete's a different athlete now. It's a better athlete. I will admit that to anybody. And, you know, it's a faster game. But it's back in there, there was a game that was, it was almost putting, like, we went to Rome. We went into the circle there.
The Colosseum.
And, yeah, you go to the Colosseum, and that's basically what the game was about back in the day.
Well, you know, the interesting thing for me is, you know, being from Granite City like Brian is, and you live there now too, that rink still obviously being a one of the last remaining outdoor rinks around here. I mean, people talk about they want all these outdoor rinks now. Well, Granite City's been there forever, and people over in St. Louis didn't like it. I don't want to go over there and play and everything. And then you had the hockey pickup. And, you know, Brian, the truth is, I would have said this today without you being here, your family had a lot to do with the resurgence of that rink and making it more than what it was. Like, you guys had invested heavily in, like, you guys had sponsored the Zamboni. I remember your company being on there to allow them to take that rink to another level. And that was you falling in love with hockey. And your son, absolutely, and he was a really good player as well. But, you know, it takes that in a community to do that. And then there was a community in St. Louis that wanted, for whatever reason, we got to have a new arena. Now, the finances, I understood, and they did say it was falling apart. Granite City was the same way, right? But instead of knocking it down, and everybody did too, I remember it. Everybody wanted to knock it down, remember, and build a new rink. And people were like, that's just not going to happen. So, but it was like, okay, well, let's take the old one and let's just clean it up, make it nicer. And a lot of people did it. And I'm still glad to this day, and I don't know about you, Brian, but that rink, and you had a lot to do with getting that ball rolling, but that rink, people love to play there now.
Oh, yeah, it was always fun when the Chesterfield people came over in January.
Yeah.
Having to stand outside.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
They didn't like that at all.
No, they didn't. But
back in the day, I remember I would say we were going to play Brian wouldn't have been with me. I was with Twin Bridges, but we played out of Granite City, and I had, like, Lawson, and they were, like, 8 or 9 years old at the time. And the guy that was running the scheduling for me said, when do you want to play the Chesterfield team? I said, we'll play him right in the middle of January, late January, early February. And he goes, well, he said, that's going to be cold. I said, that's exactly why we're going to play him there.
You know, a friend of ours, it was and you know him, he was an unbelievable high school hockey player. He was so good. He was beyond his years. Todd Hennister was just so good back then. And some of the guys that I played with. And, you know, I was playing hockey, and I wasn't near as good as them. I'd picked up the game late. And I was, you know, your feet. I mean, it would be amazing how your feet would feel in there in late January. And walking to the room one day, and one of the guys, I'm like, man, what do you guys do? You know, and guys, everybody put pepper in your skates or do this or do that. And I look up, one of the guys had taken, you know, the Wonder Bread. You know, you get your bread in those plastic. He would put that over his foot and then wrap it real tight. And he's like, man, my feet never get cold doing this. Something his dad had told him, and that was an old trick. And so I fast forward, and I know when you're talking about Lawson, Logan had played hockey. And man, these little kids, like, you'd be sitting in the locker room down there, and every one of them, it was when you'd untie the skate, and I guess the skate would get, is when all of a sudden, man, they'd all start grabbing their feet and everything like this. So I'm not kidding you, man. Like I was so like over it, right? Like, as a parent, you're like, you want to be, you want to take care of your kid, but then you're like, God, you know, every time, right? I put those bags on that kid's feet, and he didn't complain one time going forward. I couldn't believe it. So you got to have some tricks down there. That's for sure. No doubt about it. I'm sure you had a few.
Did his feet ever get yeast infection?
No.
But they were fresh.
Oh, man. Holy moly. Here we go.
What? I just asked a question.
Yeah. Hey. But we got to do that one there.
We do have sound effects a little bit.
Yeah.
The Granite City Rink, though, you know, they had that big storm come through there. I don't know, what was it, 2-3 years ago? And the roof got damaged up a little bit. Yeah. They fixed it up, and they put a couple new dressing rooms on there. So the dressing rooms are always small, so they've improved it a lot. And it was kind of funny. I was playing in Chesterfield 2 nights ago, and there was a coach we were coaching about, and he said, I always liked the Granite City ice. It was always
In January, it was awesome. Hard as a rock, fast.
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, it's still, as you know, you take the cold, but you grew up in Canada, and you're where I grew up, and you know, there wasn't heated rinks and that, so you're growing up, but the ice was always good. So it was, you take the good with the bad. But now that I'm coaching, you know, it gets cold over there on that sideline. I'll promise you, because that wind comes through there, that's cold over there.
Yep. You like the outdoor games, Brian, that they do every year around?
I do. I got a chance to go to the Blues and Blackhawks game.
Oh, good thing Rivers isn't here. He'd tell you about his saucer pass to Stastny. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. In the suite right next to us was Wayne Gretzky.
Sweet. You didn't sit out in the elements with everybody?
Big time.
He's big time. Yeah, you're right.
In the overhang. It was a good time.
Listen to him. He's name dropping. In the suite and Gretzky. You know, he's just name dropping over here, this guy. That's how he rolls. No, I like him. You like him? Would you have liked to have played him?
Yeah,
I would.
Yes. But you know what? They're getting... They play a lot of them now.
And
I wish it was, you know, the New Year's one was, you know, you'd go to the thing, but now you run out to Alberta or out there, they sort of play one out there. Now the California guys want to get involved. I'm actually going to be in Dallas on New Year's, and I think they're playing Nashville on theirs up there, so we're going to go to watch that one.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's grabbing. So once a year is good, but, you know, you start digging it all the time. It gets old.
Is it like the bowl games? There's too many of them.
Yeah, I think so. But you just got to stay. You know, can't be going all the time. Sort of like your love life. You know, once in a while, not very often.
Jeez, Louise. Now we know how it goes down at the Kimball house. I guess I don't. Holy cow. So before we hit some more, I got a couple more texts for you guys before you go, but I do want to remind everybody, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. We're going to ask you all to subscribe to the show. That's the best way to get a notification each time we put it out. And with these guys' crazy schedule, you never know when that show's coming out, although we're working on being a little more diligent about our schedule. Check us out on social media as well, at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. Make sure you guys follow us and get involved. I've got Kimby convinced to take over the Twitter for some Blues games this year, so that ought to be fun. I don't know how much trouble we'll get in there.
Spell check.
Oh, boy. Facebook's always a good one for us. Check us out, Blues NHL Podcast. Type it in. Like our Facebook page. Please click invite your friends. When you see the pin post, about 99 times out of 100, that's going to be the actual show. So if you would comment on it, share it, like it, all that good stuff, it just helps us with Facebook and their crappy algorithm, and shares it out there and helps us bring more people into the conversation. And you guys that do it every show, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Special thanks, as always, to lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that you guys can download for free on your mobile device. You guys will enjoy that as well. And to all of our partners, of course, you heard me mention Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, that's the name you know and trust. I have to say thanks to the Nelson family, good friends of the Kimball clan over here, great family involved in amateur hockey here in St. Louis that just asks us, please share it out there that we are NelsonLandServices.com, five-star locally rated company that does landscaping at reasonable prices. And as I always say, and Brian, I know, spent a lot of time with you down in the Ozarks when we were younger. This is the company that does a lot of those grand houses down there. So if you have something you need done, NelsonLandServices.com is the name you know and trust.
He owned one of them.
Hey, well, that's how it goes, man. When you're Brian Patterson, that's how it goes.
Patterson, they got a big tire out
Didn't
there.
Didn't you hear him earlier? Didn't you hear him? The guy's in a suite. He's sitting next to Wayne Gretzky. I mean, you got to pay attention, Darren.
There'd be one of those big Michelin tires up there.
He was your GM. You got to pay attention. I don't know that you pay attention.
I just said he owned one of the damn houses. That's all I said.
Doctor. But we're very fortunate around here to have so many people involved in the show. I'm going to take Brian over for some Adam Smokehouse, too. I think Brian looks like he's a meat eater. That guy's in great shape, lifting, taking care of himself. He's probably a meat eater. You're a meat eater, aren't you?
Oh, I like meat.
You like barbecue?
Yes, I do.
Well, Adam Smokehouse, go over and order yourself a Kimball. We got a new one. Did you see that last night? We got a Kimball.
Yeah, I saw it.
You get order something, have somebody else pay for it, and get a beer to go. That's a Kimball.
I always got to include beer, though. That's terrible.
I don't know. I guess people assume you drink a lot of beer.
Bullshit.
The first time I ever met you, you had a beer in your hand.
Crown Royal.
You had a beer in your
seven
hand.
7-7.
Hey, you got his old order down. I see you guys did spend a lot of time on the road together. I see how that goes.
Just for, I don't know what a world record is, but in Kansas City, 24 of them.
Him?
Yes.
As an appetizer.
Appetizer for what? Is that from... Maybe we should have Brian in here more often. He may have some good stories about you.
I could come back.
But
I'll be quiet.
Maybe we go with that one. Maybe we'll go with that one. Crickets. The guys are looking at one another right now. Nobody wants to say nothing. All right. So let's go back to the Patterson Tire text line, a whole lot more than a tire store. What went right with the power play from our good friend Deneen?
I think they're
people are like, hey, can you get back on the Blues? You guys are talking too much all time hockey.
But they're moving the puck. The puck's moving well. They're not hanging on to it. It goes to the next guy, to the next guy. They're moving their feet. They're getting open. It's creating opportunities, and that's how the power play's got to work. So last night it was the Kings were sort of playing their little box there, but they were moving it around, and they went inside it and come outside it, and it was just nice movement with the puck.
Brian, I've said on the show, and you obviously you talk about Brett Hull being your influence and all this kind of stuff, but I've talked about on the show, my biggest problem with the power play these days, and I'll be curious to get just another fan's opinion, it's painful for me because what's changed over the years is all four guys, they just back into the goal, and by the time you have a goalie and four guys in the way, they're all just screaming, hit me. So I'm not saying it's not skill, but how many of the goals go in off somebody? You know what I mean? It's painful.
The prettiest play last night was, I think it was a third power play goal to tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. How often do you get to see it? That's my problem.
You know, would they score that off the rush? Was that kind of off a rush?
Yes. Yeah. So was that the one to...
Shen on the back.
Yeah. Shen on the back.
She gives it to him. The other Saskatchewan boy gives it to him.
So I don't... they pass it around the umbrella, if that's what you want to call it. And it doesn't seem like anybody works behind the net anymore. So I don't know. I guess that's just the way you're going to do it.
But is it the equipment? Because you could shoot one of these guys with a gun and these shin pads and pads.
I promise you, back in the day, Al McGinnis would shoot the puck. No one would stand in front of him. And I guarantee you today they will, because I think the equipment's a different animal. And some of them guys are like RoboCop. You know, they go out there and they can. They're like a goaltender. And they'll stand in front of anything nowadays. It's crazy. But that's what they were doing. But last night, the Blues, when they're moving the puck around, they had the umbrella going up on top, but they would move it into the middle, move it out, and move it over to the side. Then it went down to the net and come back. What's his name? Throws it out. I don't think he's passing to Dunn on the play, but it goes through and it gets to Dunn, and he's got a wide open net. But it's all about puck movement, man. Because then if you got puck movement and you're going side to side, they can't stand in front of the shot to block it, right? So that's what's got to go on.
Well, I just, I'm just crying for a day of a lot of rushes, a lot of tic-tac-toe stuff, which I know too much of that would be bad too. I get that, right? But I want the skill to take over, and I don't mean this. It just takes being tough to just back in and say hit me. And you go back. I think, did you play with Harold Schnapps?
Yeah.
I mean, watching that guy drop down to his knees old school and say, hit me in the chest or the face. I mean, gee, many Christmas. I mean, you don't see that much anymore. I don't know that you ever see that anymore. But you know, blocking shots used to be a badge of honor. Not that it isn't now, because these guys shoot hard and all that kind of stuff. But, man, it just seems like that's the only thing I can come up with is this equipment screams of go ahead and hit me. And, you know, but at the same time, too, you know, you get broken feet, which we don't see very much anymore. So they've obviously made strides in what they put on their feet.
Snepsy is a different bird, though, because he was just getting warmed up, because later at night he'd have a ball in his mouth. So that was
he was just getting warmed up for that. Man.
What?
Man, you're just sharing today.
What?
You never got in trouble for not sharing,
did
you?
What did I say?
Did you ever get... You never got in trouble for not sharing in school. You never got put in the corner, never...
No, I mean, but hey, get off there. Quit being that way. but yeah, no, it's but there's not many players like... They're going to... I mean, there's a lot more players like Snepsy now. They're going to get in front and they're going to block it. So it's just... It's a different animal. Different animal.
I just...
But
I
you know what, though? The goals that are scored, the puck movement, and what Brian said is on the rush and everything, but it's all... It was 5-on-4. It's, you know, 5-on-5, it just takes up more room. And there's five guys there. And all these guys are big individuals now. They're 6'2", 220. Like a 220-pound guy, 6'2", back in my day when I played.
And we talked about this the other day.
Guys. Now they're even bigger than that. And these guys are goal scorers. And they're skaters. And they're fast. And, you know, but they're not afraid of nothing. So they're going to stand in front of this stuff. And you're right. It's hard to get the puck through. But that's the way the game's played.
Brian, following up a Stanley Cup season for you as a fan, is the whole year a pass for you? Can they do no wrong this year, or do you have higher expectations, or like where are you at?
It's funny you say it, because we were just talking about this at work the other day, that it almost is a pass. You know, we used to live and die on every goal of every game, and this year it's like, oh, they're doing okay. Yeah, that's, I think you're right. It's a pass for me anyhow.
Yeah,
you know, you still want them to do well, and you have your favorites you root for. And we'll see when February comes around if we still feel that way. But right now it is. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, to me, it's not a pass, but that's because that's your job. And I think the Blues players, you know, you win one, and you know, you hear the story. I'm not the first one to tell you this, but people win one, they want to win another one. It's because it was that much excitement. And
well, they want. I mean, they're spending money like they got it.
They're trying to put a dynasty together. This little thing. They're going to try to go on a run, and which is hard to do this time of day because of the salary cap and everything else. But there are people out there. I talked to a friend, a guy that we were talking about earlier on the show, and I was talking to him the other day, and I said, you know, what if they don't make the playoffs in that? What are you going to think there? And he says, I don't give a shit. He said, they won the Stanley Cup, and that's all I cared about. And so a lot of people put everything was put on the Stanley Cup, so now it's won. But once you win it, once you've seen the parade that goes on, and I know you might not get back to that status because it was, you know, 52 years in the making that parade was, but... people like success. People like winners. And so the Blues are built to try to win 2-3 of these right now, because there's going to come a time where the salary cap's going to kick them in the ass and they're not going to be able to keep up with the Joneses. So they're going to have to win it now. And, you know, they got to be a top five team right now. So why not take a run at it?
Yeah. And we answered your question last year finally. Kimby used to always wonder which way's the parade go. Well, we figured it out. It didn't go. It didn't go the way you thought. It didn't go east to west. It went west to east. Yep. They took it on down to the arch.
I always thought it ran toward the water.
Well, that's where it went.
Yeah.
We should have had him on earlier.
Smart man.
See, we were missing the brains.
That's what they always say, though. It always runs towards the water.
We had the beauty. We were missing the brains.
That's where my putt goes, always toward the water.
Well, Brian, you know, at first, I got to tell you, the first time we talked to you today was. You know, we got a little of that on your first question, but you livened up. I like it. I know you were a little nervous, but you did good.
Yeah. It was okay. I had a good time.
Yeah, you may have to become a regular. Are you ready to be a regular?
No, I'm I'm ready to retire.
I know.
Get it? Retire.
I know your brother today was all like, you know, it was really surprised we didn't ask him to come up and be on. Well, he's such a talker.
Well, he's ready for the baseball
one. I know. He's, and again, I played ball with all these guys.
That's because he talks the same language as Molina, right? What? What?
I don't know. I don't even know what the hell you mean by that.
Neither do I.
I don't know.
I just said something.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas.
I don't think Kevin talks Canadian that well.
He doesn't. No, nothing like that going on. So I'm looking at the boss over here in the chair. How'd we do? We do all right? She took a lot of notes.
I know.
I know that. I'm wondering.
That's why I didn't look over that way the whole show. I don't like that. Last time I did that, I had a police officer walking up on me, so I don't want to do that. No.
I think I'm in trouble.
You think you're in trouble?
Oh, jeez Louise.
Hey, you can't be that in trouble. Come on. It's all good-hearted fun. This is hockey, baby. We just give the people what they want. Yeah. And they like us for it. Isn't that something?
That's the only one part of the show. Wait till the other character gets on.
Oh, gee, many Christmas. Yeah, these two. Used to have to put, in the old studio, we had a little barrier that would come up out of the ground between the two of them to keep them from going at each other. Yeah, like, you like it. There's no Buffalo Head references. You're wearing out the, you know, because what would have been said today in our conversation if Jamie would have been here when we said we didn't have any headphones for this? What would he have said? Well, Kimmy broke them. He put them on his head, and he broke them.
I went to, when we were at Patterson's the other day, when I had to pick you up from your clunker that you drive, I look up on their billboard, though, they had a pumpkin on there, and I said, oh, shit, where's this day going?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought the same thing, where it was going to go. But
thank God Riz wasn't here.
Well, Mr. Patterson, and I'll call you Mr. Patterson now because you technically are the boss, you know, and I know you feel important because you own your own text line now. Did you ever think the day would come where you'd own your own text line?
No, it's things you dream about.
It's things you dream about, but we do appreciate it. We're having a lot of fun with it, and I know you guys are too, and we do want to remind you one more time how the whole text line thing works, and we sent it out last night, so we really do hope that you guys take advantage of it, and we got a lot of them, and again, I apologize. We'll never be able to cover them all. We will cover hopefully ones that we're discussing, or if it's something that talks good hockey, or maybe takes the conversation somewhere else. It's a lot of fun. But we want to remind you that number one more time is 314-403-2130, and that is our Patterson Tire and Service text line, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call, 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois, 62040. And remember, they are more than a tire store. If you need auto repair or anything like that, it's great stuff. And, you know, you got to meet Brian a little bit today, and we'll have him on some more. And he loosened up a little bit more towards the end of the show, and then I guarantee the next few times here, we may get into some old good stories.
When you call him on his 1-800 number, he's a lot more fun.
Oh, gee, many Christmas. Don't share that. Don't share his 1-800 number with anybody. But no, good people. And
he's
like I mentioned,
speed dial.
I'm trying to stay on point here. Brian, you see what I'm dealing with here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay on point here. I'm trying to be professional.
His attention span is long.
Yeah, I was going to say, you stood in the corner a lot as a kid, didn't you?
Yes,
gee, many Christmas. But no, hey, great people. And I always say it. I've known them a long time. And if you met their dad, you would see why. They're honest people. They do, you know, they do good work for you, and they're very personable. And I think that's what you want. You know, when you trust somebody to take care of something for you, you want to feel like you can trust them. And that's the main thing that you can get down at Patterson Tire and Service. Family-owned business, folks. That's where you need to keep your money spent, because I like the theory out there all the time. You know, who's going to take care of your community? Well, these guys take care of the community. That's Patterson Tire and Service. And we do thank you guys. Kind of rolls right into some of the other people that we do thank. Of course, NelsonLandServices.com, same thing. Amateur hockey, big in amateur hockey, supporting that community and doing things for them. And that's why we want you to check out NelsonLandServices.com. Before we go, of course, as we do each show at the end of the week, we go to our good friend Dennis Minner as he brings you live from Minner Arena. And that is brought to you by our good friends at Adams Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks, located on Watson Road, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Don't forget, if you have the big order coming from work or somewhere like that, they do the box lunch orders. If you have catering, folks, I'm telling you, you would not be disappointed. Make sure you check out Adams Smokehouse. Tell Mike and the whole gang over there we said hello. Order a ribs, and now we have a Kimball as well. They'll have to put that on the menu as well. But remember, when you order the ribs, the bill doesn't come to me. You go in, you order the ribs. It's a guy standing next to you. That's the guy that pays the bill, not me. That's how it works. So don't forget them. It's the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's Adam's Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. Take it away, Dennis.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. Make sure and give me a follow on Twitter at Minner Arena. And I am brought to you by the one and only Adam's Smokehouse. Hey, have I told you guys lately that they are only 6 miles away from the Enterprise Center? So you could go over, grab a bite to eat of the amazing ribs, try some of their cranberry cayenne barbecue sauce, some hot wings. Man, you could have an amazing dinner before you get over to the Enterprise Center. And make sure and let Mike over at Adam's Smokehouse know that Minner Arena sent you. But hey, last night the Blues won their second game in a row. Absolutely, I mean, the way this team has gelled these last two games, as a lot of you all know, Berube had a closed meeting, players only. and I guess shook him up and did one of his famous F-bomb speeches or something. But whatever it did, it seems to woke him up. The team is gelling incredibly. Last night on some of the power plays, there was one power play in particular. I think it was the first one where that's some of the best passing I've seen. Oh, my gosh. They're just phenomenal. I don't even know what else to say. But, hey, I'm going to come at you a little bit different direction this week. One of the things we promised last season was to interview some fans and talk to some people. But, hey, coming up November 1st is one of the biggest nights of the Blues Nights, and it is the Hockey Fights Cancer Night coming up November 1st. Make sure and get your tickets for that. They are selling beanies right now. Multiple, I think there's four or five different colors you can choose of the beanies to represent which cancer that you want to be in memory or in honor of. But I am sitting here. I'm actually on vacation right now, on family vacation. Just went to Branson, Missouri for 5 days. But I'm actually here with my parents. My dad is sitting here. Didn't even know what I was doing. He's looking at me. We just woke up, and he's kind of looking at me in shock. But one of the things that I wanted to do was talk to my dad for a few minutes. My dad is a big Blues fan, and I'm just gonna let him introduce himself and let everyone know what kind of cancers, not just cancer, but what kind of cancers he has battled over the years. So I'm Dennis Minner Jr. A lot of people don't know that. Do not start calling me Jr. on Twitter. But this is Dennis Minner Sr. So, Pops, tell them just real quick what kind of cancers you've had. And the good news is how many years you have been cancer-free.
Well, first of all, if I'm a senior, he has to be a junior. So if you want to slip in, call him junior every once in a while, that's okay with me. But anyway, I really wasn't a big Blues fan until my son took me to the first game live, and my wife and I have been a big fan since. But back in 2011, in regard to cancer and how so many sports teams, especially the Blues, all of you know how much they support and help cancer victims. But in 2011, I was diagnosed with my first cancer. About a year later, I had my second cancer. 2 to 3 years later, I had an additional two cancers. The last one was a neuroendocrine tumor on my pancreas, and we thought that was the end. But the Lord blessed, and through it all, so many people were supportive. And the big thing that really meant a lot to me and my family, and especially my son being the Blues fanatic fan that he is, and that's great, is that the Blues really supported me and my family, as well as Denny and his family through it all. They did so many personal things for us. And again, this isn't anything new. I'm one of many, many hundreds and thousands of people that they help support. But that's just the nature of the Blues. And I think that's why they're not only such a good team, and I think they could win, lose, or draw, and people are still going to love the Blues just because of who they are.
So great. And how many years now have you been? So what people don't realize is, so my dad has battled pancreatic cancer and neuroendocrine carcinoid tumors, which are two of really a couple of the most deadly cancers out there. And my dad has fought back and survived and was even doing half marathons in between surgeries and radiation. So how many years now have you been checked out and been cancer free?
Just finished my third year cancer free, and go back this coming May for the next follow-up checkup and see if anything's going on. I feel good. I don't feel like anything is going on, but it's been great. It's been a real blessing.
So awesome. And hey, and I want to kind of follow up, because part of the reason to combine this with the way I have watched my dad fight back, and like he said earlier, at one point really thought it was the end. I remember literally my dad going into one of his surgeries and handing all of us Dear John goodbye letters almost, and it was kind of scary. He's looking at me crazy, and he handed us all letters, and they meant a ton, but it was really scary. But, you know, here's a cool thing is my dad kept fighting back. And comparing that to the Blues last year, I mean, you know, how do you look at that, Dad? I mean, the Blues last year were, you know, on my birthday, January 3rd, were in last place, the bottom place team in the entire NHL, and fought back to win the Stanley Cup. Maybe you should brag and tell everyone what your awesome, amazing son did and what you got to experience and the history you got to experience with the Blues there towards the end of the season.
Let's see. What did the Blues do at the end of the year? Had something to do with a cup or something, didn't it? And what an amazing experience. And, of course, y'all don't know my son personally other than what you see and hear, but believe me, all the rave reviews that you hear about him, the way he brags about the Blues, that's not fake. He's like that all the time. And he's been able to help me and my wife, his mother, get him to do a lot of personal things, and especially with the Stanley Cup. We're so proud of the Blues, and whether you like little Layla or myself, or if you're the Blues in last place, you don't quit. You don't give up. You just keep on keeping on.
It's awesome. Yeah. And one of the things that Dad got to do is we went to game five. I don't even know anymore. My head doesn't even work, but took Dad to the second home game. So we were able to actually see the Blues win that game. The only home game that the Blues have ever won for the Stanley Cup, my dad and I were able to witness together. So go support Hockey Fights Cancer on November 1st. Buy a beanie, grab a sign, and stand up in honor or in memory of someone that you know that has cancer. Hey, and again, go follow us on Twitter, and please go check out the incredible Adam Smokehouse, who just does an incredible job, and we can't do this show without their support. So, hey, guys, until next week, Dad, can I get a Let's Go Blues?
Let's Go Blues!
Well, Dennis never disappoints and gives us a great great feedback, and I know that show was special for him as well. So good stuff for Dennis, and good stuff for the Blues. As, again, it's all smiles around here when the Blues win, and we do want to thank them for winning because it makes the show that much easier to do, although sometimes I think some of our best shows is when they were struggling. So, hopefully we get Jamie back on Monday. Hopefully everything's okay with his daughter there. Strep throats sucks, especially for the young one. So hopefully Jamie can get that all squared away, and we get him back on Monday. But thanks to my co-host, Darren Kimball, of course, as he always never disappoints. I told you, man, you're way better at this than you think you are. You can carry the water. You don't need Jamie.
No, I don't need him. He's right.
Don't need
I started
him.
To realize that, and my paycheck better start to get that way.
Oh,
too.
Man. What do you think? He gets a bigger cut than
yes,
you? It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. We'll have to talk.
He's got his own goddamn show.
Well, did they call you? Did
no,
one-on-one
they never
call
talked
you?
To me about that.
No, they should.
I think they said I swear too much.
You do, and I think that's probably the first thing on Tracy's list over there. That's why you're not looking at her.
I think she was marking that one over there. More pen marks on that one. No. Swear.
She's like drawing the little lines. With
Brian, am I wrong? Hey, he hasn't turned and looked at her one time. I'm the one. I got to look at her the whole time, and all I see is her feverishly writing over there. Hey, I didn't think we signed up for this. Hang on a minute.
Exactly.
Here. No, I just.
So, hey, hopefully production don't go down next week.
She's over there going,
So, no, good stuff. Had a great time. Brian, thank you for coming in, of course.
Appreciate
and I know,
you having us. It's been a great experience.
Yeah, and you guys, I think in the end, being a local family-owned business, you know, you want people to know who you are. You want people to know what you guys are about. And I think that's what we wanted. That's what we want to do over time here is just make sure people know that, you know, you're in your community, you know, you're not, you know, no offense, but you're not a big red tape chain that's got to deal with a bunch of stuff. You guys are right there. People can talk to you guys. They can give you a call. Typically about 99 times out of 100, if you call this number, it's going to be you or Kevin answering the phone. So
yes.
you're going to get somebody. The buck stops here with you guys, so to speak. And I think, you know, when you take your car somewhere and you want to trust somebody, that's kind of what you want, right? Because, you know, you get the runaround a lot of other places, and I'm not taking pot shots here at other people, but that's the truth, right? And I think that's what you guys kind of eliminate.
Yeah, I think being there every day is real important for Kevin and I to answer any questions, try and help any problems that need to be resolved, and We do our best.
Yeah. I've sent a lot of people to you over the years, but way before this, and I've never had anybody call me back and say, hey, what the hell were you doing there? Like, you really screwed me there. Never had it happen, not one time. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, as you look at it, I know a lot of people, so I've sent a lot of people up there. So that's a testament to you guys, you know, and good for you. And I think that your dad instilled that in you. I think, I really do. Lonzo's a great human being, one of the best people you ever meet. And I, you know, he takes that seriously. He still comes in. I know that. He still likes to come putter around the shop, and good for him. And I think that's a great influence for you guys.
I was driving by.
Yeah.
And to go in for an oil change, and it was like $18 for an oil change. So I went in, I come out, and Brian comes up with a bill for $500. I had four new tires on there, too. So that's a hell of a job they do there. They do a tire change, and you're not even looking.
Look, hey, but that's their job.
Oh, that's
their
job.
You supposed to be out driving around on bad tires?
Well, obviously, that's what I'm saying. So he knew I had bad tires, so he put four new ones on. He didn't have to ask me. They went on.
I think you're special, though.
That's when you know your customer that well.
Hey, they got that hockey money. You know it's not an issue, right? Like, I don't even have to ask the guy. He's dipping into that hockey money. That's how it goes, right? All the money you make here, right? Exactly. You just go out and get some new tires,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
No, it's funny. I was telling somebody the other day about it. They were like, I said, yeah, I've known him a long time. I said, in fact, I had the first ever Patterson credit card before there were credit cards. I would go in and Lonzo would put tires in my car, and I'd pay him $100 every 2 weeks until my bill was paid off because they took care of me. But, they're good people, and they take care of the people in their community and outside their community. I mean, you guys service a large area over here, equal opportunity you guys are. So make sure you get down there and check them out and say hello. Again, you can trust them. And I think it's a big part of it, to be honest with you. A lot of the people that we have on our show, innovativecompanies.com, Randy Green, same way. Old school, look you in the eye, shake your hand, tell you something's going to get done. That's why everybody loves Randy Green and innovativecompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green, the name you know and trust. Don't forget our good friends at SynergyHockeySkills.com. That's the wonderful organization that Jamie runs that's helped so many kids with hockey and helped a lot of dreams come true. But in the end, it doesn't matter your skill level. Those kids just want to get better, and that's what Synergy Hockey Skills is there for. Our Coach Henson talks glowingly about the work that they've done with his program. So it's really at any level. So I'm excited for our show this year and where we're going. I'm loving the addition of the text line. I hope you guys are as well. Don't forget Adam Smokehouse as well. Thank you one more time for our segment with Dennis Minner. You know, he's such a passionate fan, and we do appreciate it. One last time, check us out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show. We absolutely encourage you to do so that you guys get a notification on your phone each time the show comes out. Social media at STL Blues Podcast. Please follow our Twitter account. I think when Darren takes it over, you guys are really going to enjoy that. Or maybe you won't, but I think that's good in social media. Blues NHL Podcast on Facebook as well. Make sure you guys like our Facebook page when you see the pinned post. Like it, comment on it, and share it. Help us get it out there to the Blues community. That means a lot to us. To all the Facebook groups that we share our show, and thank you so much for allowing us to do so. We get so much listenership. We get so much fan support from those Facebook groups. You guys that run those, it's a tireless and thankless job, but we do appreciate you very much. LineupMedia.fm, home of Yo Radio. Download it for free on your mobile device. You guys will enjoy it. It's a great streaming platform for all your mobile devices. The stations on there are phenomenal. Instagram, we're going to start building our Instagram account. We haven't done much with it, but we want to get it going. Blues NHL Podcast on there as well. And again, I can't thank my co-host, Darren Kimble, for carrying the water today. Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Hopefully, Riv's all right, and appreciate the Pattersons coming on board. Enjoy it, and
yep,
we'll get them up here.
Did you have a good time, Brian?
Didn't tell any stories, though. That was good.
I did. I had a good time.
Yeah. I wonder how it would have went if Tracy wasn't here.
No, about the same.
About the same?
The same, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a few more stories. But
see, that's the beautiful thing about podcasting. You got to be careful because she can just go listen anytime she wants. That's the beautiful part of podcasting. Right. You know, like I imagine tonight you'll go home and pour yourself a long hot bath and put in your earphones and listen to some Blues NHL podcast.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
But you're asking him, though. Wait till you go ask Kevin when you get home. What Tracy really thought.
I'll see how that goes.
We had I think it was a opening our new store, our new addition to the store. We had some guests come out and do a radio show, and Darren was one of the guests signing autographs and stuff. And
this Darren?
This Darren, yeah.
Really?
And he puts his name in to win something. So we draw it out, and he wins.
What'd he win?
It was supposed
those tires.
It's supposed to be tires, but we were like, Darren, you can't win.
That's why you got that. See, I knew there was more to the story.
And I haven't seen him since.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I knew there was more to the story than that.
I forgot about that.
Holy moly.
But it was equal opportunity, you said.
Jiminy Christmas. Yeah, that's what he called me. We gave away tickets to the Winter Classic a couple years ago. He called me up. He said, "Hey, I didn't win them." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, I must have filled that thing out online 100 times.
I go to Quick Trip. I fill everything out all the time.
Jiminy Christmas. You're a lottery guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, it's everybody's retirement plan, the lottery.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, great stuff. Enjoyed the show today. Brian, we're going to ask you to not be a stranger. Come on up. I'd love to have Jake on sometime. I really would. I'd love to catch his thoughts as a young kid. We do that from time to time, bring in some of that next generation that grew up when the thing exploded. It's a lot of fun, so we'll have to have Jake on sometime. I'd love to see Jake go at it a little bit with the old coach here that he's an adult. He's an adult now.
He's like the old coach. He works a 40-hour week, so it's hard for us guys to do this shit.
Well, he knows the owners. He might be able to get some time off.
He'll have to talk to his boss, Kevin.
Is that how it works there? Like you're not allowed to boss around your own kid? Is that how it goes there?
No, it doesn't work that way well. So, no, it doesn't work so well that way.
So like you show up to work, you don't talk to your kid at all.
I don't know who he is when he gets there.
I ride in the car with mine and I don't talk to mine either. So I get it, man.
No, good stuff. Well, hey, thank you. We appreciate you very much. Tracy behind the scenes over there. You did a good job today. I'm really excited to see what these notes are. Kimmy, thanks so much for all of our Blues fans out there. We are the Blues NHL Podcast. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.